Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, I'll be honest with you. I feel like I need a little break to step away from the chaos and the din for just a moment to take a deep breath and enter a headspace that's quiet and beautiful. If you feel the same way, take a journey with me. Cast your mind's eye several miles off the coast of the New Hampshire-Maine border to a place called Star Island.
You would see just a giant expanse of sea and sky. That would be the first thing that would strike you.
This is Alexandra De Steiger. For the past 20 years, she's been Star Island's solo winter caretaker.
The island itself is rather bare. It's very scrubby, a lot of rocks, a lot of big ledges. And then on one portion of the island, there's the big old hotel. So it sort of looms up out of the rock. It has this sense of the past. Most of the buildings are very old, including the hotel. So it feels like you've been dropped not only in place, but in time. It's so quiet. That's the other thing about the island is there's no modern noise. There's no noise of any kind other than the ocean, the surf, and the lighthouse horn. Sometimes the bell buoy ringing when the seas get big. But other than that, it's extremely quiet.
De Steiger winters alone on Star Island. She has an internet connection, if she wants it. She also has her camera. Her ghostly beautiful seascapes and landscapes are collected in the book Small Island, Big Picture, Winters of Solitude, Teach an Artist to See. Alexandra De Steiger is also an accomplished sailor, so she says the splendid, frost-bitten solitude of a Star Island winter was a natural fit.
I was always attracted by the ocean. I wanted to go to sea, even as a young person, so when I was 18, I shipped out on my first ship. It was a tall ship out of Gloucester, Massachusetts, the Regina Maris. And I ended up being a sailor for about, 9 years on long sea voyages. And then I was visiting a shipmate who was working on Appledore Island, one of the Isles of Shoals. And he said, you know, you should come out, see the Isles of Shoals, they're gorgeous. And I lived in New Hampshire, so I'd never been. And it just so happened that they were looking for a caretaker over on Star Island. And we went over, and I was interviewed, and they hired
me. You were interviewed.
What
were they looking for in a caretaker?
They were looking for someone who could live remotely and who understood, you know, things about generators and the wind. You know, being a sailor, it was kind of a perfect fit because, you know, I knew how bad storms could be. And I live off the grid in my home. So it was really a good fit.
So you're there all winter long,
yeah.
Off the grid, as you said. What do you do for food, for running water?
There's a cistern under the building that I live in, and so I collect rainwater off the roof. Sometimes I'll run out of water and I have to pump it from the well, which is across the other side of the island, so that could be a bit of a hassle in winter because everything freezes quickly. But for food, my partner Brad visits and he comes and brings food, so I'll email him a big list of groceries and he'll bring it out.
So you have internet?
I do now, yes. When I first moved out 20 years ago, there was some kind of very sketchy radio phone that didn't work very often. You know, no one had cell phones back then. But now, yeah, there's internet. Living the high life out there now.
So you're the only person on the island all winter long.
Yes. Well, I'm the only person on all nine of the islands. There's nine, and they all become deserted.
And how do you... Do you revel in that solitude? I mean, how do you deal with it?
I love solitude. I just it feels like I have this whole wild enclave to myself. And I think as an artist, I get a lot out of solitude because there's a centering that happens when you're alone. You know, when you're with someone, there's always this distraction of, you know, are they enjoying themselves? But when you're alone, there's no one to interact with but yourself. So it's a way to just become quiet and to center on what's around you.
You know, the closest that I've ever had to your experience, it does not hold a candle to being a solo caretaker on a northern Atlantic island, but many years ago, I house sat for a friend for 6 or 7 days, her and her many dogs, and they live out in the country. And I just decided for whatever reason that I wasn't going to talk. I mean, I could have talked to the dogs, but, you know, they had each other too. It was so strange. After the first and second day, it was weirdly freeing. I mean, in that space that was created by the silence from human chatter, which is funny to say since I make my living talking, but I felt like a kind of soulful liberation that I had never felt before.
Yeah. Yeah, living in the modern world, we take it for granted that, you know, talking is just what we do. But when you don't have to anymore, it is. It's very freeing.
On the other hand, though, I'm curious, you're on an island by yourself. Have there ever been any wild moments that were frightening?
Yeah, the storms out there can be very severe. So there was one year where there was a 91-mile-an-hour storm, and I was there alone, and I stayed inside because with the big old buildings, often the roofing tiles will fly off and parts of the building will blow away. But even inside, it's scary because the whole house vibrates and the window glass just bows inward, and you could see it. It almost looks like it's breathing. There was another storm, too, where a door on the near the hotel roof had blown in half. It just ripped in half. And so I went up with a piece of plywood. This was after the storm, but it was still quite windy. And I got up there on the roof with this plywood, and I realized that the roof itself was a sheet of ice. It was a flat portion of the hotel roof. And so being a sailor, this was really fun for me. I was able to just angle that plywood, and I sailed myself across that roof. And I set that piece of plywood up against that door, and the wind held it in place, and I was able to screw it there. And
a plywood spinnaker. Like, who would have thought? You've been doing this for 20 years, right?
Or a couple. This will be my 20th winter.
20th winter. Has the experience changed you?
Yeah. Yeah, it has. I feel like I just know myself a lot better. I know what I want in life. I know what's important to my life. And that's the other thing about being alone is you get to figure yourself out.
Now, we have to talk about the fact that you're an artist as well, and you're a photographer, and I've seen some of the pictures that you've taken on the island, and they are so beautiful.
Thank you.
So can you tell me about how looking through the lens of your camera and that way of seeing, what do you see around the island when you're doing that?
I guess the way I go about it is when I go out to photograph, I don't think about photographing. What I'll do instead is what's more natural to me, which is to just go out and sit on the rocks and wander about and thoroughly enjoy being there. And then taking pictures is almost an afterthought, you know, of just the sheer enjoyment of the experience. So then making images becomes a way to participate further with that enjoyment.
Well, I was thinking about the title of your book, right, which is Small Island, Big Picture, Winters of Solitude, Teach an Artist to See.
When I first arrived, you know, everything is new. And when you're in a new place, it's exciting to take pictures of everything because you've not seen anything before. And that's how it was for me. But then after a few years, I realized that, you know, this is a very small place and there's only so many things here to photograph. And I was a little worried that would become limiting. And then slowly I realized it was not limiting at all because there's always more to see. If you sit quietly in a spot, these subtle things that you never would have noticed start to stand out.
We think we know things. We think we're familiar with the people and the objects and the landscapes around us because we might see them frequently. But how much do we actually see them?
Yes.
And I think you need time and space and the ability to slow down in order to create an environment where you are really seeing. And then if you're able to do that, they will surprise you.
So for me, it was the more I connected with a place, you know, the more it revealed itself. It made me realize that, you know, even the things we are deeply familiar with, we can even get more from them because there's always more to to see.
Yeah. And in your case, when you're spending the winters on Star Island, since you're there alone, there's the elimination of all the possible distractions that might interfere with you seeing things. I mean, that's the thing that I'm almost there and saying, take me with you.
Yeah.
but then there wouldn't be any solitude there. So
right.
So I will impress myself upon you in that way. Before I let you go, I have to ask you one more question about you and your encounters with rough weather. Because this is the 25th anniversary of the perfect storm. And you were caught in that storm.
So I had signed on the Ernestina, which is a ship out of New Bedford. And the trip was to go to the Cape Verde Islands off Africa. So we left Woods Hole and headed out for Bermuda and got, I guess, down to off of Cape Hatteras when Hurricane Grace started coming up the coast. And the seas were huge. And I'd been in storms before, but this one was, you know, I think the biggest that I'd seen. And it was scary. There was one night, especially when the seas were so massive and they were just sweeping the deck. There was a lot of damage to the ship, and we ended up not going to Africa because there's just too much damage. And so we went and we sailed around the Caribbean instead.
Can you tell me what it feels like in the first moments after the weather calms down when you realize you've survived?
As a sailor, you understand that going to sea is a risky thing. So I think the fact that you signed up for that means that you're the kind of person that type of fear is not going to affect so largely. That's the risk you take. You might die. And so it's not as big a deal as you would think.
Wow. But I get it. It's all about that mindset.
It's perspective.
Yeah.
You know, and when people say, are you scared on the island, you know, when these big storms come? And I said, well, you know, I have a little perspective on that because I'm not scared. I'm on solid rock, you know, and I'm not on a rocking ship that could sink, you know, so everything is perspective.
Even with those Boeing glass windows. But so I guess on that note, let me just ask you, you're going out for your 20th winter on Star Island. What's the first thing you're going to do? What's the first thing you usually do?
The first thing I will do, I think, is head out to the rocks on the east side where the ledges are high, and I'll probably stand there and I'll just soak it all in and prepare myself for another long winter alone.
Alexandra De Steiger is a photographer and winter caretaker of Star Island. Alexandra, thank you so much, so very much for speaking with us, and I hope you have a great winter
out
there.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. Mm-hmm.